stand and join me in reading the prayer of illumination?
Amen.
Lord, open our hearts and minds
by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Today's word, today's powerful word, will be coming from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. May this word, may this reading and hearing and understanding of the word be a blessing to you on this resurrection day.
Amen.
Thank you.
humbly bow in your presence once again.
Yes, God.
We realize that it's in you we live and move and have our being. So grateful for another day, oh Lord. And for how you watched over us as we slept and slumbered all night long. Woke us up to the dawning of a new day. Lord, with the blood running warm in our veins, the articulation of our speech, the activity of our limbs, and Lord, it was you, Lord, that has given us minds and will say yes to your will and yes to your way. Lord, we acknowledge your greatness, your splendor, and so grateful for your grace and mercy. Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, has abided with us.
Come by and steal the body of Christ.
Roman guards made it so difficult for a human person to move the stone that they tended guard around the tomb 24 hours a day.
Yes.
3-hour shifts.
Yes.
Making it impossible that someone would come along and steal the body.
Yes.
The stone was rolled away once again, not to allow him out, but to allow them in so that they could be witness to the fact that he was gone. The true Eastern message is come and see.
Yes.
Go and tell.
Yes.
There it is.
Amen.
Come and see. Go and tell. The validity of Christianity is affirmed and proved by its accuracy of the resurrection.
Yes.
If the resurrection does not occur, then Christianity is not valid. Its validity is lost.
Amen.
The empty grave clothes lying in the tomb were the shape of the body of Christ. Like an empty cocoon. This proves his body was not stolen, but that he arose through the grave clothes and left them behind as testimonies of a miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
If his body was stolen, it was stolen either by his friends or enemies.
Yes.
If by enemies, they would have produced it and silenced his disciples. If somehow his friends came by at some point and stole his body,
yes,
they would not have willingly given their lives just to cover up a lie.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anybody willing to die or give their life to keep a lie going?
No.
Someone placed a gun to your head. And the truth be told, you had to keep a lie, you wouldn't keep a lie.
Amen.
I want you to know that today is not a religious celebration of a fictitious account or a fable of a fictitious character. The resurrection of Jesus actually did in fact happen. The resurrection of Christ is an acceptable historical fact. And the person who questions or denies it must offer proof that he did not arise from the dead. Same who tried to destroy Christ on the cross now wants people to believe that he's still dead. It was Christ the liar who was the author of the conspiracy between the Jews and the soldiers in the first place. His virtuous life, Christ's virtuous life, his sinless life, proved that he always told the truth. And even his enemies could not find fault in him. Either he came out of the tomb or he was a liar, which was it? There was eyewitness to testify that they had seen Jesus. In Luke chapter 24. 33 and 36, John chapter 20, verse 19, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Acts 21 and 22, all give separate accounts, identical accounts, that there were more than 500 witnesses that saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection. 500 people, that's a lot of people.
Yes, yes.
Some unbelievers say that the early witnesses were hypnotized.
Uh-huh.
And that they suffered from self-imposed hallucinations. Self-imposed hallucinations, or they were hypnotized.
Yes, yes.
What's the likelihood of 500 people being hypnotized all at once? On different occasions.
Yes, yes.
What's the likelihood of 500 folks experience a self-induced hallucination?
Yes, yes.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of You know why? Because I don't know about you, but there are times when I watch these NCIS shows on TV.
Yes, yes.
The police shows where they get the suspects and they take them in an interrogation room. What they do is they will separate them. You know, two potential suspects that take one in one room and take the other one in another room.
Yes.
And they would grill them to see if their stories matched. These are eyewitnesses to the crime now. They know what happened. But even in the interrogation, it's difficult to find two people who ever see anything the same way. You and El Sarza saw an accident, there would be 500 different interpretations of what we saw. Can you imagine 500 people who saw Christ all witness to the same thing at the same time throughout all of those ages, hundreds of years? The change in the early believers proves that he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead and he lives forever. When you stop to think that Peter and the other apostles didn't expect the resurrection, the remarkable change in their lives proved that something happened. The remarkable change in their disposition, the remarkable change in their attitude proved that something happened. Something took place.
Yes.
Peter was a frightened coward one day and a mighty preacher a few weeks later.
Right.
What happened?
Amen.
We had no delusion or myth could have changed this dedicated Jewish rabbi into a fiery Christian preacher.
Yes, yes, yes.
One who persecuted Christians for a living, met the Christ, the risen Savior on the Damascus Road.
Come on, Pastor.
Damascus Road, on his way to persecute more Christians.
Yes, yes.
Came in contact with the one and only risen Savior.
Yes.
Savior blinded him and he woke up. That he's alive is a Christian conversion.
Amen.
He lives.
Yes, yes.
I tell you why I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Yes.
There's a difference. There's a transforming thing that happens on the inside when Christ comes in. You try to fight it, but you can't fight it. You try to run from it, but you can't run from it. Understand the importance of the resurrection and what that means to the believers.
Amen.
First, it proves that the Son of God truly was the Son of God.
Yes, yes.
In other words, it attests to the truth that the scriptures of Acts 2:31 and the Old Testament were all fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
Everything that was ever written about Jesus,
yes,
he fulfilled.
Yes.
I find that miraculous. Because there's nobody that ever fulfilled anything to the exact pinpoint accuracy that Jesus was able to fulfill scripture. The other thing that's important, that it assures us in our future resurrection with him. It assures us that because he rose, that we have somebody in heaven mediating, that we have an attorney in the courtrooms of heaven, on our behalf.
Yes.
It assures us that there is somewhere that we're leaving here going to when it's all done, said and done.
Yes.
future judgment.
Yes.
I'm reminded of him laying on the cross, hanging on the cross, and the two thieves on either side of him. One confessed the sin and said, you don't deserve to be here. I deserve to be here because of what I've done.
Yes.
He confessed the sin and says, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Uh-huh. Jesus said, today thou will be with me in paradise. Now understand, he didn't mean heaven, he meant paradise.
Yes.
Because Jesus knew that when it was all said and done, that he had unfinished business that he had to take care of.
Yes.
He went down in the pits of the lower regions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Bless God, he had to release the captives that were held captives in a place called Abraham's bosom.
Yes, yes.
Do you ever wonder what happened to the Old Testament patriarchs? What happened to the Old Testament priests? What happened to the Old Testament prophets? They were hanging down there in Abraham's bosom. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the rest of them were there in Abraham's bosom. And Jesus had gone down there for 3 days to minister to the saints. Jesus went down there to declare that I have all keys of heaven. Faithfulness. He had to go down there to remind them that the prophets and the words came true. Can you imagine the look on John the Baptist's face when Jesus walks through and he said, Lord, you are here. Can you imagine the look on Isaiah's face? Jesus quoted Isaiah the most of any Old Testament prophet. Can you imagine Isaiah looking upon his face? Can you imagine the prophet Jeremiah, who was sent to a failing ministry, the weeping prophet, Lord, why would you send me to a ministry that was doomed to fail? Jesus said it was not for naught.
Yes, yes.
My Father sent you that the word might give food to my people.
Yes, yes.
But even if they don't receive, I'm here right now.
Yes,
yes. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan, snatched them out, and loosed the captives or made the captives free. He ain't going to heaven yet. By this time, it was time for him to make an appearance.
Yes.
He shows up. He shows up to Mary. And he says, Mary, Mary, and Mary, go tell Peter and the rest of them that I'm here. Tell them to meet me in Galilee. Tell them I'm here.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible said when they saw the risen Savior, they fell prostrate at his feet. And God declared, don't be afraid, it's me. Don't be afraid. I understand you failed me. I understand you left me. I understand you ran. But that's okay. I'm here right now. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be scared. He knows you failed in times past. He knows there were issues in your life that caused you to doubt. He knows that you have a finite mind and your finite thinking doesn't always enable you to take the impossible and make that possible. Within me.
Yes.
He's our redeemer, our deliverer.
Yes.
He's our justification. relationship with him, you have a personal connection with him, he'll come the way that is personal to you and him.
This was never
never about the Easter Bunny. Never about jelly beans, chocolate speckled eggs. Never about purple grass. Nothing about all of that. I really don't know where that came from. But if you ask me to give you proof, oftentimes people say, if God is alive, can you prove he's alive? I can give you historical fact. I can give you biblical fact. I can give you archaeological fact. I can give you personal testimony. There's eyewitness testimony. Not as it just been written, but it's been affirmed and confirmed over and over and over and over again by the harshest skeptics, by the harshest atheists. Can't refute the facts. The facts are the facts. I would go one further. Show me a better God.
Well,
amen.
Show me a God that will erase everything that I've ever done, any fault that I've ever done, never to bring it up again. Show me somebody, a God that will heal me from the inside out. That will transform me and make me different. We're not talking about religion this morning. We're talking about a relationship, a personal relationship, a divine relationship. Right where you stand, I'm gonna ask you to bow your head and whisper a prayer in your heart. It's good to see so many in church this morning.
Amen.
But you know what? It ain't really about that. This becomes personal.
Yes.
This is personal right now. This is a personal thing between you and God. You must ask yourself the question, if I should die, where would I spend eternity? If I don't make it back next week.
Yes.
If I don't see tomorrow, what really does tomorrow hold? I want you to know right now, you may not know what tomorrow holds, but you can know who holds tomorrow.
Yes.
All I'm asking you to do is put your faith and trust in Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and that His mercy endures and lives on forever. If you're not a Christian, if you live a life of fear, if you're acquiescent, you need Jesus. While every head is bowed, if you want to get saved today, Jesus, you want to know Him, the part of your sin, don't just slip up your hand. All over the sanctuary, I know everybody's not saved. But God wants to save you. This is why Resurrection Sunday matters. The reason why it matters is that your salvation through Jesus Christ ensures you eternal life. We're all going to leave here one day. Either you're going by the rapture or the undertaker.
Peace of mind, knowing and trusting in a God
wrote the song, He's Sweet, I Know. He's sweet, I know. You don't have to be afraid to go to your father and ask him for anything. You don't, if you have me, you don't have to worry about that. The earth and the Lord's and the fullness thereof belong to him. The cattle on a thousand hills all belong to God. If you are a child of God and you have a need, the side to your seat.